إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله. We praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du, certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a straying. And every straying is in the hellfire. This week, inshallah ta'ala, we will be beginning a new book for our fiqh class, inshallah ta'ala. It's going to be الأدلة الرضية لمتن الدرر البهية في المسائل الفقهية by Imam al-Shawkani and Muhammad Subhi Hassan al-Hallaq. This fiqh book was a small book written by Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, who died 1250 Hijra. This small book that he wrote on the issues of fiqh from A to Z, he didn't put any proof from the Quran and the Sunnah. Though he's amongst the scholars who follow the Quran and the Sunnah on the understanding of the Salaf of this Ummah, but he wrote this book to be small for the Muslims to understand the basic principles of their deen and to know the basic verdicts of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam summarized in this small book. Muhammad Subhi Hassan al-Hallaq, he came after Shawkani during our times, and he's still living, hafizahullah. He came and wrote a proof for every point that Imam al-Shawkani mentioned, to show that Imam al-Shawkani bases his statements on the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of his Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and on the statements of the Salaf. This is the way of Imam al-Shawkani, but sometimes you write something small just to benefit the people. And this is what he did. So we're going to take this book, inshallah ta'ala, and to begin with it, and to try to end it, in order to cover fiqh of this deen from the beginning to the end, in light of the statements of Imam al-Shawkani, based on the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This week, we're going to begin with the book of Hajj and Umrah. That is because the Hajj is just around the corner, and it's befitting that we begin with this chapter, inshallah ta'ala, so that the people going to Hajj can benefit. And then when we come back, inshallah, we will begin from the beginning of the book. Also, just wanted to point out for those who will be making Hajj with us here at our masjid, the Hajj al-Mabrur, inshallah, from the Islamic Center of East Orange, New Jersey. We're going to have another book that we're going to take with us to the Hajj, and that we're going to go over the Hajj from beginning to end every day while we're there, inshallah ta'ala, until we finish the Hajj. Even when we begin the Hajj, every day we're going to go over what we have to do that day. And from point to point, we're going to cover, inshallah ta'ala, what we're supposed to do to make our Hajj like the Hajj of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. But for now, we're just going to use this as is befitting for our fifth class, inshallah ta'ala. And we begin with the statement of Imam al-Shawkani, Kitab al-Hajj, the book of the Hajj. Al-Bab al-Awwal, Ahkam al-Hajj, the first chapter, the verdicts pertaining to the Hajj. And then he brings a section, Al-Faslu al-Awwal, Wujub al-Hajj, the first section, it is compulsory to make the Hajj. And then Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, he says, يَجِبُ عَلَى كُلِّ مُكَلِّفٍ مُسْتَطِيعٍ فَوْرًا وَكَذَلِكَ الْعُمْرَةُ وَمَا زَادَ فَهُوَ نَافِلًا. Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, he says, as we translate, it is compulsory on everyone who has reached the age of puberty, who has the ability to make the Hajj immediately, and likewise the Umrah. And whoever does more than that, then it's nafila, or it's voluntarily. We see this statement, it is compulsory for everyone who has the ability to make the Hajj. We see this in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Ali Imran, verse number 97, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is a duty on humanity to Allah to perform the Hajj to the house of Allah for whoever has the ability to do so. For this statement of Imam al-Shawkani, it is compulsory to make this Hajj for whoever has reached puberty and has the ability, as Allah says, whoever has the ability to do so. In this ayah, the Hajj is compulsory on him. From Surah to Ali Imran, verse number 97. And then we know from the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, Buni al-Islamu ala khamsin, على شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة وحج البيت وصوم رمضان أو حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيل وصوم رمضان أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم. As the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Islam is based on five: bearing witness that no god has the right to be worshipped other than Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and to establish the salah, and to pay the zakat, and to make the hajj to the house of Allah, whoever has the ability to do so, and to fast the month of Ramadan. So we see from this ayah in the Quran, and the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that hajj is compulsory on the one who has the ability to do so. Immediately. Meaning, as soon as you have the ability, it's compulsory. And we see this in the hadith collected by Ibn Majah, Imam Ibn Majah rahimahullah, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas, عن الفضل أو أحدهما عن الآخر قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أراد الحج فليتعجل فإنه قد يمرض المريض وتضل الضالة وتعرض الحاجة أو تعرض الحاجة أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم. On the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas, on the authority of Al-Fadl, or on the authority of Al-Fadl, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever wants to make Hajj, then hurry up and do it. Or, whoever wants to make Hajj, then I command him to hurry and do it. Because indeed, a person may get sick, or he may lose his means of transportation, or something may come up. Here we see that the Messenger of Allah is showing that it's compulsory to make the Hajj immediately. And we wanted to stop at this point for a minute to let everyone listening to go and tell everyone who's not here that they have to make that Hajj, and to stop lying by saying that Islam is based on five pillars and then they don't save their money to make this fifth pillar.
it's compulsory on the Muslims to make this Hajj to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the pillar of Islam. People have been in Islam 15 years. They haven't seen the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except on a picture. People have been in Islam 10 years. People have been in Islam 1 year. Wallahi, we make more money in America than almost any other country in the world. We have the money, but we wearing it. We have the money and we driving it. Wallahi, we have the money and we look at it on our wives. We have the money, we sit on it in our houses. We have the money and we eat it up from our refrigerators. This Hajj is the fifth pillar of Islam, and it's compulsory on whoever has the ability immediately. People get sitting on, how much? You got $5,000 in the bank, or I'm saving up for something. You got $3,000 in the bank just in case of a rainy day. All of this money we sitting on, and the time for the Hajj comes, and everybody figuring out what they going to do. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam commanded us. Whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to make this Hajj. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us to make this Hajj. And he commanded us to hurry up and make it. Once a person says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu amma ba'd, outside of the money he puts for sadaqah, he got to be putting away a little stash until that money looks nice enough for him to make Hajj. This is compulsory on all of the Muslims. We can't sit around here and waste our money, or we don't call it wasting it, we call it enjoying our money, our hard-earned money. Your hard-earned money is the money that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed you to have. Use it to benefit you in making this Hajj. Imam Ash-Shawkani also said, and the Umrah. Meaning the Umrah is also compulsory immediately on the one who has the ability to do so. As we see from the statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 196, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. And I command you to make the complete the Hajj and the Umrah for the sake of Allah. This Umrah is also compulsory. Not just the Hajj, but the Umrah for the sake of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And whoever does more than that, then it is voluntary, or it's extra reward for him. Meaning, if you already made the Umrah and the Hajj, and you want to go back and make another Umrah and another Hajj, then this is voluntarily, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says in the hadith of Al-Bukhari, a Muslim, Al-Umratu ila al-Umrati kaffaratun lima baynahuma wal-Hajju al-Maburur laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-Jannah. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, one Umrah to the another Umrah is an atonement for the sins in between it. And this is how we see that each extra one is voluntarily. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is explaining, each Umrah you do forgives all of your sins that you committed since that last Umrah. You make a Umrah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives your sins, wipes away everything bad that you did. Then you come back home and jump right back into your sinning, until you save enough money to go back, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives your sins. Each time you go back, this is extra, and it's recommended as we see in this hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. Then he said, Al-Hajjul Mabroor. And from this hadith, we named our package Al-Hajjul Mabroor, the Hajj performed correctly. Meaning the way that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had showed us, there is no reward for it other than Jannah, other than paradise. If we're not living our lives to worship Allah, to get paradise, what we living for? And if we want to get to paradise, this is the way. Saving our money and going to make that Hajj for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is also for the people who claim that they love the unity of the Muslims. Tell me, where in the world are you going to unite all of the Muslims from all colors, races, shapes, sizes, languages, like you find on the Hajj? Other than maybe New York. But in New York, they're kuffar, and in Mecca, they're Muslims, walhamdulillah. So this is the way that we're going to unite. And when you see that picture of all of those Muslims from all over the world bowing down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you ever question yourself, was I on that picture? Or could I have been on that picture? Was I one of the ones to make salat to that Kaaba? Every day we're facing five times a day this direction. What direction is that other than the Kaaba? We need to keep going that way all the way until we land and we're looking right at the Kaaba. and to make our salah at the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This issue of hajj is serious. And I was ashamed to find that so many Muslims haven't made hajj. Some spend $100,000 in the past 10 years or more. Ain't went to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a shame on us, how we claim that we're so good Muslims. Yeah, you hear the people talking about how good we on this deen, and how much we on this deen, and we can't even save our money to go make hajj to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so that you see the people 3 weeks before hajj, 4 weeks before hajj saying, yeah, I'm trying to work overtime. Should have been working overtime from the time you said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. What you working overtime now for? Can't even find a plane ticket. Wallahi, the planes will be coming from, they already started, for months. And you hear in some of the countries like Indonesia and Malaysia, when they're sending 125,000 Muslims, that planes be leaving every hour on the hour for a month to get all of them people there. How many planes you have to take to get 125,000 people? 300 people on a plane or less. How many planes you need to get? Every day, all day, the planes are landing in Jeddah from all over the world. Hour after hour, every couple of minutes, planes are landing. We're not on one of them. This hajj is compulsory. And I just wanted to put a little emphasis on this in the beginning so that we can go tell the people who are Muslim, did you make hajj? Well, save your money and make this hajj, because you might get sick. You might lose the transportation. And something might come up. And then you don't make hajj. And then you die like the weak narration, the death of a Jew or a Christian, which has not been authentically reported on Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But how are you when you say, I'm a Muslim, and then you die, you never made hajj? When the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam made the hajj. At any rate, he continues, Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, al-Faslu al-Thani, wujub ta'ayini naw' al-hajj bin-niyya. The second section is that it is compulsory to specify what type of hajj you are making. It is compulsory to specify what type of hajj you are making. And he brings his statement, rahimahullah, Imam al-Shawkani says, وَيَجِبُ تَعْيِينُ نَوْعِ الْحَجِّ بِالنِّيَّةِ مِنْ تَمَتُّعٍ أَوْ قِرَانٍ أَوْ إِفْرَادٍ وَالْأَوَّلُ أَفْضَلُهَا وَيَكُونُ الْإِحْرَامُ مِنَ الْمَوَاقِيتِ الْمَعْرُوفَةِ وَمَنْ كَانَ دُونَهَا فَمَهِلَّةُ أَهْلُهُ حَتَّى أَهْلُ مَكَّةَ مِنْهَا. Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, it is compulsory to specify what type of hajj you are making. It is compulsory to specify your intentions to what hajj you are making. Either the tamattu' hajj, or the qiran hajj, or the ifrad hajj. And there are three types of hajjs. And the first hajj is the best type, meaning the tamattu' hajj. And the ihram is put on, in, or you come into the state of ihram at the mawaqit, and we'll explain inshallah ta'ala, that are well known. And whoever is inside the mawaqit are places on the earth between your place of residence and the Kaaba. When you go to Mecca, somebody's going to go past those mawaqit, and then he has to become in the state of ihram. Some people live so close to the Kaaba that there's no miqat. These people, wherever they live, that they just put on their ihram and they're in the state of ihram. And we'll explain inshallah ta'ala as we take a look at these. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَىٰ. The hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim, that actions are by intentions, that a person only has what he intends. Everything that we do in this deen, we have to intend to do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the niyyah, or the intention, is in our hearts. This tamattu' hajj, and this is the first type of hajj, and this is the best way, as we're going to see inshallah. This is when a person goes to make the umrah, comes out of the state of ihram, and then at the time of hajj, he puts back on his ihram, and then he makes the umrah. And he remains in this state, and then he remains in his ihram, so he makes his umrah, and when, until he gets to the point in his hajj, where he takes off his ihram and continues the hajj, and he has to slaughter. This is the tamattu' type of hajj, and we see this from the hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim an ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu ma qala tamatta'a rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi hajjatil wada' bil umrati ila al-hajj wa ahda fasaqa ma'ahu al-hadya min dhil hulayfa. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the tamattu' hajj and the farewell hajj by making the umrah and then the hajj, and then he had his animal with him and he slaughtered it, the animal that he brought with him from Dhul Hulayfa. In this hadith we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the tamattu' type of hajj. The tamattu' hajj is where you make the umrah first, then you come out of the state of ihram, and then when the time of hajj starts, you go back in your state of the ihram and you make the hajj, and then you slaughter a sheep during your hajj. The next type of hajj is the qiran. The qiran hajj is where a person makes the umrah. He remains in his ihram clothing and he stays in the state of ihram until the time of hajj comes and he does his hajj and he's in the ihram. This is the qiran. This is the qiran type of hajj, and he only has to make one tawaf, and we'll deal with one tawaf and one sa'yi, and we'll deal with that when we get to it inshallah ta'ala. And this is based on the hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Aisha radiyallahu anha annaha qalat kharajna ma'a rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam عام حجة الوداع فمنا من أهل بعمرة ومنا من أهل بحجة وعمرة ومنا من أهل بالحج وأهل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بالحج فأما من أهل بالحج أو جمع الحج والعمرة لم يحل حتى كان يوم النحر. And this hadith of al-Bukhari, a Muslim, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that we went out with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the farewell hajj. And there were some of us who went into the state of ihram only for the umrah. And there were some of us who went into the state of ihram for the umrah and the hajj together. And there were some of us who only put on or went into the state of ihram for the hajj. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for the hajj. And then we know, as we see in that other narration, that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam changed his intentions as he was commanded and went to the tamattu' type of hajj. As for the one who gets in the state of ihram for the hajj or for hajj and umrah, then it is not permissible for him to take off or to come out of this state of ihram until the yawm al-nahr. So here we see in this hadith not only the qiran type of hajj, which is where you make the umrah and the hajj together, meaning you make your umrah, you stay in your ihram until the days of hajj, and then you continue with the hajj. This is the qiran. We also see the ifrad type of hajj in this same one, where people just went to make the hajj and not to make the umrah. And this is the ifrad type of hajj, where there's no umrah, you just go to make the hajj. And we saw this in this previous hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim narrated by Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Imam al-Shawkani said that the best hajj is the tamattu' hajj. And he says this based on the hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu. قال أهلنا أهللنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بالحج فلما قدمنا مكة أمرنا أن نحل ونجعلها عمرة فكبر ذلك علينا وضاقت به صدورنا فبلغ ذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال ما سلم فما ندري أشيء بلغه من السماء أم شيء من قبل نفس من قبل الناس فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم أيها الناس أحلوا فلولا الهدي الذي معي فعلت كما فعلتم قال فأحللنا حتى وطعنا النساء وفعلنا ما يفعل الحلال حتى إذا كان يوم التروية وجعلنا مكة بظهر أهللنا بالحج. And this hadith collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he said that we made our intentions to get into the state of Ihram with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for Hajj. And when we got to Mecca, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us to get out of the state of Ihram and just to make it an Umrah. The people have went out with either the Quran, the Quran or the Ifrad type of Hajj. Then when they got there, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he told them, no, get out of the state of Ihram. Don't make it connected with the Hajj. Get out of it and just make that Umrah, and then get back into it and make the Hajj. Some of the people said that they had a problem with the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wasallam. So that got to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we didn't know if something was revealed to him from above the heavens, or that it was something from the people, until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, O humanity, get out of the state of Ihram. And if it wasn't for this animal that I had with me, I would do just what you're doing. So he said, we got out of the state of Ihram until we had relations with our women, with our wives. And we did that which the people do when they're in the regular state, or the halal, outside of the state of Ihram. Until it came the day of Tarwiyah, and it was at Dhuhr time, and we were in Mecca, we got back in the state of Ihram for the Hajj. So here, from this hadith, you see that the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, even though the people came out with one intention, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told them, no, make the tamattu' Hajj. And he commanded the people, as he said, O humanity, I command you to make, to get out of the state of Ihram. Meaning to make your Hajj the tamattu' Hajj. And there's other evidences, of course, and we're just bringing one hadith just to show what the Shaykh is saying is the truth based on the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. I meant to say in the beginning of this class, and I forgot, and hopefully the brothers will remind me in the coming days of fiqh, if there's any question, ask it at the time, because sometimes you might forget a point or what have you. And fiqh is detailed, as this is actually how we're going to practice Islam in our lives. This issue of fiqh, it's not just something we're going to hold in our minds, some scientific class or important evidences or something. This is, we're going to actually practice it. So if you're hearing something, you don't see how you can practice it, you should question on the spot to make sure that this is clear, because you have to do this before you die. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let us die on this deen. You put on your ihram and you get into this, or you get into the state of ihram at the miqat or at the mawaqid. The miqat is just a place that has been specified by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whoever goes past it intending to make the umrah or the hajj, he has to get in his state of ihram. And we're going to cover, inshallah ta'ala, as we go along, what all of these words mean and actually how it is, but we're just introducing the topic, inshallah ta'ala. We see this from the hadith collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. قال وقت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأهل المدينة ذا الحليفة ولأهل الشام الجحفة ولأهل نجد قرن المنازل ولأهل اليمن يلملم فهن لهن ولمن أتى عليهن من غير أهلهن لمن كان يريد الحج والعمرة فمن كان دونهن مهله من أهله وكذلك حتى أهل مكة يهلون منها. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi, or excuse me, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, in this hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave us our miqat. The miqat is the place that you go by to come into the state of ihram when you're making an hajj and an umrah, as we're going to see. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave us or stated where the miqats were. He said, for the people of Medina, their miqat is Dhul Hulayfa. For the people of Medina, their miqat is Dhul Hulayfa. For the people of Sham, this is just outside the Arabian Peninsula, Palestine, Jordan, Syria, up there. This is their miqat, is called Juhfa. For the people of Najd, this is Eastern Arabia, and the people are coming from the Iraq area and Kuwait and out that way, Afghanistan, India, towards that direction. Their miqat is Qarn al-Manazil. And for the people of Yemen, and that's in Southern Arabia, and that's coming up, their miqat is Yalamlam. These miqat are for the people of these miqat, meaning the people of those areas, this is their miqat. And whoever goes past them, it's their miqat too. For whoever wants to make the Hajj or the Umrah, and whoever is inside of the miqat, meaning there's no miqat between his place of residence and the Kaaba, then the place of his residence is where he gets into the state of his ihram. Even if you live in Mecca, you become in the state of ihram from your house or your place of residence. So we see from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that he stated the miqat, and he said where the miqats were, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The Shaykh, in his explanation, in the footnotes, he adds, as some of the Muslims, they've named these miqats on other than the names that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had given them. And he's just mentioning to hold fast to the names that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam gave them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made his Hajj and his Umrahs from Al-Madinah. And he used to go past the Qat of Dhul Hulayfa. And inshallah ta'ala, our package this year, we're going to be going across the same miqat as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And we hope that this Hajj will be accepted. Then he says, and for whoever is inside or closer, the last statement, whoever is closer to these, to the Kaaba than the miqat, then his place is his miqat, his place of residence is his miqat. Even the people of Mecca, their homes are their miqat. And we see it from the hadith that we just read. And then he brings another hadith, another narration from Al-Bukhari and Muslim. وَعَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنِ عَبَّاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, he said, إِنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَقَّتَ لِأَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ ذَا الْحُلَيْفَةِ. And this hadith is the same meaning of the hadith before. There's no need to continue, inshallah ta'ala. So we see from this chapter that it's compulsory for us to specify our intentions for what type of Hajj we're going to make of the three. And that the best one is the tamattu' Hajj. And this is the one that we will be making, inshallah ta'ala, with our masjid. And the people get into the state of ihram from the miqat that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has designated. And whoever is inside of them, and this doesn't apply to us as we don't live that close to the Kaaba. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us residents close to His house one day. For those people, their houses are their miqat. Meaning they're just right in your house, you put on your ihram and go. Like one of our brothers, Ibrahim Richard Smith, who used to be here and made hijrah, moving to Saudi Arabia. Whenever he wants to make the umrah or the hajj, he's just in his house, takes a ghusl, puts on his ihram, and just goes out to Mecca. And this is where some of us need to be, so that we can go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's house, and we ask Allah to make it easy for us. The next section, Fasl al-Thalith, Mahzuratul Ihram. The section, that which is prohibited when you are in the state of Ihram. When you're in the state of Ihram, in this sacred state, things aren't permissible to you that are permissible to you now. Meaning now, you can do what you like. That's permissible. And then when you put on your Ihram, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made certain things prohibited in this state, as we see Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah detailing, as he says, وَلَا يَلْبَسُ الْمُحْرِمُ الْقَمِيصَ وَلَا الْعِمَامَةَ وَلَا الْبُرْنُسَ وَلَا السَّرَاوِيلَ وَلَا ثَوْبًا مَسَّهُ وَرْسٌ وَلَا زَعْفَرَانٌ وَلَا الْخُفَّيْنِ إِلَّا أَنْ لَا يَجِدَ نَعْلَيْنِ فَيَقْطَعْهُمَا حَتَّى يَكُونَ أَسْفَلَ مِنَ الْكَعْبَيْنِ. Let's take this part by part, inshallah ta'ala, as this is a longer section. Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says that a man must not wear, when he is in the state of ihram, a shirt or a turban or a hood or pants or a thobe that has been perfumed with any type of perfume, or the za'faran, another type of perfume or oil or what have you. Nor must he wear khufayn, the leather socks. And whoever doesn't have a pair of shoes, then he can wear the khuf like this. You can you're to take your khuf and cut it off below the ankle. You take the khuf and cut it off below the ankle if you don't have any shoes, as we're going to see from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. So we see these things are permissible. And right now the men are getting a glimpse at how they're going to look when they make their hajj in two little towels. No underwear, no shirts, no pants, nothing on your head. You're just out there. We see these points in the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu. عنهما أن رجلا قال يا رسول الله ما يلبس المحرم من الثياب قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يلبس القمص ولا العمائم ولا السراويلات ولا البرانس ولا الخفاف إلا أحد لا يجد نعلين فليلبس خفين وليقطعهما أسفل من الكعبين ولا تلبسوا من الثياب شيئا مسه زعفران أو ورس. And this is exactly what the Shaykh had just said. As Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he said that a man came and he said, O Messenger of Allah, what should a person in the state of ihram wear from his clothing? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he should not wear a shirt. He should not wear a turban. He should not wear pants. He should not wear any type of hood or something to cover his head. He should not wear the leather socks. Except for one of you who does not have a pair of shoes, then I command him to wear the two khufs, the leather socks, and to cut them off above the ankle, meaning to make them low like shoes. Below the ankle. To cut them off below the ankle in order to make them like shoes. And he should not wear any clothing that has perfume, za'faran or this warsun on it. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam prohibited these things. And this is from the wisdom of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, as we see how he answered some of his companions. And this is just a little side point. He asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, what should I wear? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, don't wear. Don't wear, don't wear. Prophet didn't even tell him what to wear. And from this you see, when the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, or you see in the Quran where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala prohibits you something, everything else is okay. And with this is to show us that we don't need to keep asking, is it okay for me to do this? Is it okay for me to do that? Is it okay for me to do this? When you hear what's haram, you're gonna find out it's enough. When you hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say you can't do that and you can't do that, and he lists a couple of things, wallahi, those couple of things are sufficient for us to stay away. And some of us still have a problem staying away from those few things that Allah has made prohibited to us. So this statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is just to show us, don't keep asking, can I do, can I do, can I do? Enjoy yourself. And to the prohibition of Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam come to you, then stop there. Enjoy yourself until you hear the prohibition, then stop there. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us obedient. Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he continues after he covered the men to go to the women, as he says, وَلَا تَنْتَقِبُ الْمَرْأَةُ وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْقُفَّازَيْنِ وَمَا مَسَّهُ الْوَرْسُ وَالزَّعْفَرَانُ وَلَا يَتَطَيَّبُ بِتِدَاءً وَلَا يَأْخُذُ مِنْ شَعْرِهِ وَبَشْرِهِ إِلَّا لِعُذْرٍ وَلَا يَرْفُطُ ولا يفسق ولا يجادل ولا ينكح ولا ينكح ولا يخطب ولا يخطب ولا يقتل صيدا ومن قتله فعليه جزاء مثل ما قتل من النعم يحكم به ذوي عدل. We'll stop there, inshallah. Allah Akbar. Allah. Allah. Part of this, inshallah, ta'ala, to end up, as the Shaykh, rahimahullah, Shawkani, he says, and the lady must not wear the niqab, with the face veil, nor must she put on two gloves, nor to wear any perfume. This is for the women. And we see this from the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Abu Dawood, from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, and in it it has, وَلَا تَنْتَقِبُ الْمَرْأَةُ الْمُحْرِمَةُ وَلَا تَلْبَسُ الْقَفَّازَيْنِ. And the narration of Abu Dawood, he has the extra part, وَمَا مَسَّ الْوَرْسُ وَالزَّعْفَرَانُ مِنَ الثِّيَابِ. And this hadith, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, the lady who is in the state of ihram must not wear the face veil, nor must she wear two gloves. And the narration of Abu Dawood, which is the same narration of this, except it adds a little more, as it says, she must not wear in this perfume or the za'faran on her clothing. So here we see from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that it's like the sun is shining in the sky and its clarity, that the lady in the state of ihram must not wear the niqab or two gloves, as it is recommended outside of this time for the women to wear the niqab and the two gloves. And some people, and out of their ignorance, they think that the face veil has nothing to do with Islam. As I heard some people saying, this was some custom before Islam. Custom or not, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he made it real clear in this hadith. The women don't wear the gloves and the face veil when you're making the Hajj. And last year we had gotten to a discrepancy, and we hope that it doesn't come up again this year, inshallah ta'ala, as some of the ulama made it permissible for the women to wear the face veil because they say it's so crowded in the Hajj nowadays, unlike what it used to be during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam has more right to be followed than the statements of the ulama, and we love our ulama. Walhamdulillah wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Walhamdulillah. If we don't finish, I think it's two more Tuesdays before the Hajj. If we don't finish on that third Tuesday, we'll make that whole week, inshallah ta'ala, we'll change all of our classes from their regular topics to the topic of Hajj, in order to benefit the people who are going to Hajj, and in order, inshallah ta'ala, to encourage the people who haven't made the Hajj to make the Hajj. So it's like you can see what's going on, you get a feel of what's going on, so that next year, if you don't go this year, next year, and the Hajj package as it is this year, $2,000. Forgot what that is. How much you got to save a week to make $2,000? We had that figured out before. How much is that?
something like $55 a month. $55 a week. You save $55 a week, you go to make hajj. Some of the poor brothers, like myself and the brothers like on my level, you can save $25 a week for 2 years, you go make your hajj. For the brothers a little less than them, they save $12 a week. And then 4 years, they go and make their hajj. For the people less than them, save $6. And then like that, so you make this hajj. As some people in country, 27 years to go make hajj. People have been saving 47 years to go make hajj. Here we got to do a save for a year, we still can't do it. And some of us, we have salaries that really we do it in a month. Last year we made hajj with a brother, he worked overtime. The month before hajj, used his overtime pay to go make hajj. SubhanAllah loving. And the people still falling short on this hajj. Hopefully next week, inshallah, we'll keep the questions at the point that they come up. But if there are any questions for today, inshallah ta'ala, we have just a few minutes. Maybe we can entertain them, inshallah. The niyyah for what type of hajj that you're going to make? The niyyah is in your heart. You're just going to have it at by the time you get into the hajj that you're going to make, because you're going to have to. It's going to be in your intentions, because you have to practice a certain thing. It's like this: tomorrow, inshallah, we have to make fajr, dhuhr, asr, maghrib, and salatul isha tomorrow. When is your intention for maghrib tomorrow going to come? You want to make maghrib today? Is your intention right now or after asr tomorrow, whatever? Your intention is in your heart, and you intend, as we have already intended, I don't know how long ago, whatever, that we're going to make the tamattu' hajj. The intentions is something that you have in your heart. And it comes like, it just comes to you, oh, I'm going to the store, or whatever you're going to do, whenever you're going to do it, when your intention comes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The point is that you're decided which one you're going to do.
The reason why I said some of the people allow their intention instead of keeping it.
Yeah. No, we're going to deal with the bid'ah that's on the tongues of the Muslims. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to erase this bid'ah from the tongues of the Muslims, of this bid'ah of the niyyah. Some people think our statement, labbaik Allahumma hajja, is our intentions to make hajj. That ain't your intentions. That's the statement you say to get into ihram. When we do this, when we make salah, Allahu Akbar, do we say our statement, Allahu Akbar, is our intentions? No, you say your statement, Allahu Akbar, means I'm in my salah. When you say, Labbaik Allahumma bihajja wa bi'umrah, or bihajja wa umrah, then this is the statement that the Messenger of Allah والسلام, taught us, that after that you end. And these things are prohibited from you. Those things that we just began discussing, inshallah ta'ala. If the brothers and sisters in Philly have any questions, inshallah ta'ala, we can try to handle them now.
Wa alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I have a question on hajj.
Can you speak up, inshallah?
I'm just recently graduating from college, and
can't hear you.
I need some delay on hajj. I just recently graduated from college, and I heard that that my finances, like my bills, have to be paid before I make hajj. How true is that?
Yeah, we're going to deal with all of this nonsense, inshallah ta'ala, after we deal with that which is more important. All of this stuff that's on the tongues of the Muslims that have no basis in Islam, like you got to pay your debts first, and what's the other one? Some of this other stuff that people keep asking for proof for it. When you go to learn your deen, you learn your deen with proof. You don't go learn your deen from some drunk on the street, then you're going to come asking everybody where the proof for what he was telling me. He's out of his mind. He don't know what he's telling me. So you go and learn your deen from the people who know the deen so that you know what you get is correct. Otherwise, if you go to the people who don't know Islam, you're going to be questioning everything you learned. This is why we follow the statements of the people who came before us, who said, look at who you get your deen from. Look at who you get your knowledge from. Because this knowledge is the deen. So we have to look at where we get it from. The person who says, I want to know if I have to pay my debts from, where you get that from? Did you invent it? Or your friend? Or somebody? Go find that chain. We looking for a chain back to something. Everybody has it in their minds Wallahi, I asked every brother where. I don't know, I just heard it. Everybody heard it, it's like the shaitan then whispered into everybody's ear. And now the people think you can't make Hajj. The brother's asking, could I take a loan to make Hajj? You take a loan to buy that house on riba, it's haram. Now you want to take a loan to do something halal to get you to Jannah, and you question it. SubhanAllah, Allah. I think we want to leave this nonsense, inshallah ta'ala, to the end, not to burden the people who want to learn how to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we get that down, and there's time to entertain that foolishness, then inshallah ta'ala, we'll deal with that. Are there any other questions from Philly? The brothers from Asbury Park, are there any questions?
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi
wabarakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Kayfa al-hal ya Sha'ib?
Assalamu alaikum. All the brothers and sisters going to Hajj on Arafat, make dua inshallah for me, my family, and the community inshallah.
All right, that's for all of the brothers outside of me.
Yeah.
As for me, I'm the person in most need of my dua. So I hope the brothers don't ask me to make dua for them, because they got to make dua for themselves, because I think I'm in more need of my dua than everybody. But if I feel safe and I have time, I'll make dua for the other people. But who feels safe from the plot of Allah except the disbelievers? Now we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us of our sins and to enter us into Jannah and to make us amongst the people who practice this fifth pillar of Islam, Al-Hajj. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.